Okay with a little variety, change of pace here and there. Jesus, a lot of times in his teaching, would use various aspects of God's physical creation to illustrate the spiritual truths that he wanted to get across to people. Jesus talked about fruit-bearing trees. He talked about a vine and branches. He talked about seed in different kinds of soil. He talked about birds and lilies of the field, sheep and goats and wolves and serpents. And I think that a lot of God's creation was designed not just to have an ecosystem where life's possible and not just for our enjoyment, but I think a lot of God's creation was also designed to give us wisdom. And there's an aspect of creation I'd like us to look at this morning that I think has great wisdom for us. Solomon, the wisest man to walk the earth, told us to go to this little bit of creation and look at it and become wiser for having done so. Solomon studied plants and animals. He was a horticulturalist, an agriculturalist, and a biologist. And Solomon wrote in Proverbs 6 and verse 6, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise." And I'd like us to do that this morning. Go to the ant, observe her ways and be wise. And in Proverbs 6, where Solomon talks about that, primarily he has in mind the ant's work ethic and how the ant is self-motivated, doesn't even have to be asked, and prepares her food for the summer and gathers the harvest, gathers the harvest whenever it's time for that. But there's much more to the ant that we can learn than just that. You look at an ant individually, and you wouldn't think that they would fare very well in this world. They're near the bottom of the food chain. They're a staple in the diet of armadillos and anteaters and spiders and frogs and lizards and some kinds of snakes and fish and birds, and even bears sometimes eat ants. It's a dangerous world for ants. And many of them cannot see very well. They can't outrun their predators. And only a tiny fraction of them can reproduce. And yet these slow, barely seeing, vulnerable little creatures not only survive in this world, but they absolutely flourish. They are arguably the greatest success story in the history of the animal kingdom. Now, it would take over a million ants to equal, of your average size ants, it'd take over a million to equal just my body weight. But did you know there are so many ants in the world that the total biomass of ants would almost equal the total biomass of human beings on the planet? I had a hard time believing that at first, but then I read it in multiple sources. There are that many ants in the world. There's almost a million ants per human being on the earth. They have colonized almost every landmass on the earth. The only places they don't live are places like Antarctica, Greenland, Iceland, because they don't have any little mittens. And they've probably invaded your kitchen. They've invaded your bathroom. The largest ant colony ever discovered was 3,700 miles long along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And you wouldn't know it because it's underground. But that's hard to comprehend, isn't it? 3,700 miles, an ant colony. If you've ever had ant hills in your backyard, you know how difficult they are to get rid of. They flourish in the world. You think about a Christian individually, and you wouldn't think a Christian would fare very well in the world. It's a dangerous world to be a Christian. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, said Peter. Our struggle, said Paul, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are weak, vulnerable, drawn to so many things that can kill us. Temptation, distraction, misplaced priorities, discouragement, worldly pressure, intimidation, deception. And it's very difficult for most of us to reproduce spiritually, to make more disciples. I mean, to actually go and build a relationship with somebody and get that person open to listening to you and teach them about the Lord and prove to them the truthfulness of what you're saying and show them following the Lord and persuade them to make those difficult changes in their life to become a disciple of Jesus. That's a difficult thing for most of us. How can we survive? How could we multiply and spread and fill the earth? And Christians do that the same way that the ants do it. Every ant is a contributing part of a colony. And ant colonies a lot of times are described as super organisms because they function like a single entity. Every ant contributes a little part toward a single purpose. And that purpose is the good and the advancement of the colony. And they're all together and they work together and they're all like little tiny members of one body controlled by one mind. And it's because they function like a super organism that ants multiply and they thrive in the world. And the way that Christians will multiply and fill the earth is the same way. Jesus' prayer in John 17, remember the night that he was arrested in the garden? He prayed this prayer before his apostles. Let me read to you John 17, verse 20 in Jesus' prayer. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. In other words, he's not just praying for his apostles, but for those who believe in me through their word. And that's us. We believe in Jesus through the word that the apostles spread and wrote down for us. And so Jesus prayed for us. And what did he pray? Verse 21, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. He prayed that we may be one, one great super organism. And why? For what purpose? So that the world may believe that you sent me. How do we conquer the world for Christ? How do we multiply and fill the earth? It's by being one, like the ants are. Paul said it too, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, here's how the body of Christ, the church, grows. Ephesians 4:16, he says, from Christ, the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. These individual parts of the body, it's talking about individual Christians. And when individual Christians are fitted and held together and each contributing their little part, that's what causes the growth of the body, and that's what causes the body of Christ to thrive in the world. But often the ants are much better at that than we are, and we can learn from the ants how to better be the one body that the Lord wants us to be. And so this morning we're going to observe four ways of the ant that the Lord would have us to imitate. And number one, let's notice the purpose of every ant. I mean, what does an ant live for? What does an ant give its time and its energy and its life to attaining? A couple hundred thousand army ants travel across the floor of the Amazon rainforest to go make a raid on something. And in the path, there are little ant potholes that make travel more difficult and slow them down. And so some of the ants will actually use their own bodies to fill the potholes. They will, if they come upon a hole, it's about their body size, they'll just put their body in it to smooth out the path for the rest of the ants so the rest of the ants can travel easier and quicker. And incredibly, they will actually match their bodies with the size hole that they best fit. And so the bigger ants will go in the bigger holes and the smaller ants in the smaller holes. And they'll lie there and they'll let thousands of ants walk over them. And then when all the traffic is cleared for the day, the downtrodden ants will climb out of the holes and they'll follow the rest of the ants back to the nest. A foraging ant comes upon a large piece of food. And he doesn't just hang out there and eat his fill and keep it a secret so he can just come back later for more. He immediately heads back to the nest, leaving a scent trail so that all the other ants can come to the food source. Researchers have discovered that ants seem to have a way of communicating to each other about their own health and nutrition. And if one of the ants is not doing as well as the other ants will feed the weaker one. In a certain ant species in the colony, there are ants called soldier ants. And if there gets to be a hole in the ant nest, if there's a breach because of weather or something, these soldier ants will plug the hole with their head and wait for the other ants to come, until the other ants can come and patch it. But they'll put their head there so that the nest is protected from any enemy intruders that would come to steal food or steal eggs. They'll just put their head there to... What is an ant's purpose? An ant's purpose is the good and the advancement not of itself, but of the colony. What is your purpose in life, really? What are you living for? Why do you go to the job that you go to every week? And why do you keep the hours that you keep at the job every week? It's to earn money, but why do you earn money? And why do you do what you do when you come home? And why do you spend your money in the way that you spend your money? And why do you conduct yourself and interact with people in the way that you conduct yourself and interact with people? And why do you hang out with the people that you hang out with and interact with them in the way you do? And why do you spend your Saturdays in the way that you spend your Saturdays? Most people, the purpose behind their careers, behind how they spend their money, behind how they interact with people, is to attain the most enjoyment and happiness and pleasure they can out of life for themselves and maybe their kids and their spouse. Their vision of what they're hoping to attain by all that they do is an affluent life, maybe in a big house with maybe trophy elk and deer and bear heads on the wall and pictures of places they've been and things they've achieved, and they can have people over that'll ask them about that, and they can tell them the story about how they accomplished this and impress people and be able to afford nice vacations. And this is what they're after, and this is their purpose in life. And it's not uncommon for Christians to be that way as well. Paul, in Philippians chapter 2, he explained to the church in Philippi why specifically he was sending Timothy to them instead of some others that he could have sent to them. And Philippians 2 and verse 20, Paul says, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." And so Paul had a number of professing Christians with him, but Paul knew that they were all really more concerned about their own interest than the interest of Christ, which is the interest of building his church in the world. That's what Christ is interested, isn't it? The interest of furthering the colony of the Lord. And Paul only had Timothy that was going to be more concerned about the colony than he was about his own earthly welfare. And so this is going to sound radical, and this is going to sound extreme, but I think that the Lord really does call us to be like the ants and to give our lives for the good and the advancement not of self, but of the Lord's colony in the world. Let's earn money for the church, for the advancement of the church in the world. Let's interact with the people at the workplace and everywhere else for the good of the church, to give the church a good name and to perhaps draw people into the church. Let's pray for the church. Let's spend our Saturdays for the church. And I'm not saying don't have any fun. There's lots of fun things you can do that are good for the church. And sometimes it's good for the church if you rejuvenate and refresh a little bit in something. And you can learn to take joy in doing what's good for the colony. Let's wake up every morning and let's live for the colony and not for self. We have the rest of our lives, or the rest of eternity, to look back on what we did with this life that is just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away, and how awesome to be able to look back on a life that was used up in service to the Lord who created us and died for us, and in the future is going to show us the surpassing riches of His kindness towards us, Ephesians 2. The purpose of ants. Every ant's purpose has to do with the colony and not with itself. And then look at the ant's work ethic. Have you ever seen an ant just standing still? Or just sitting in the shade? I can't ever remember just seeing an idle ant, except the ones that my kids have poked to death. That's why Solomon said, Proverbs 6 and verse 6, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise." And then the next verse says, "Who having no chief or officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers the harvest." See, at that last part of that verse I mess up. But there's no sluggards among the ant. And they kind of have a chief, they have a queen, but the queen does not have to patrol around like an officer or a ruler or a chief and tell the ants to get to work. And she doesn't have to beg the ants, and she doesn't have to twist their little ant arms and bribe them and threaten them to get the ants off the couch and working. The ants are self-motivated, they, without even having to be asked. Are you an ant for the Lord? There is so much work for the colony every day for each one of us to just have our plates full. And probably people are not going to come around and tap you on the shoulder and ask you to do any of these things. But there are people to visit and encourage. There are calls to be made to struggling people. There are invitations to give to people you know. There are lots of prayers that need to be prayed. There are kids that need to be brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There are people to teach. There is spiritual mentoring that needs to be done. There's all kinds of acts of kindness to do to encourage each other, things to be fixed, things to be improved, meals to serve, relationships to build. There's plenty of work to do for the Lord to keep us busy all the time. And that may not sound too appealing to you, to be busy like an ant for the Lord. But the Lord's teaching me, I'm learning, probably slower than I should be learning, but I'm learning that you're never more happy than when you can somehow lose sight of yourself and live for a purpose bigger than yourself. There's just good feelings that come with doing good things for other people and knowing that you're pleasing the Lord. And it boosts your immune system too, interestingly. Studies say you do good things for other people. Your relationships with people are better, and it's part of why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. But the ants, they're not just busy doing something for the colony. Ants will do whatever work they can do that is most helpful to the colony. And so it may not be the most desirable or glorious job in the colony. It may be plugging a pothole with their body and getting walked on. It may be plugging a nest hole with their head. It may be digging endlessly. It may be foraging endlessly. But if it's what's best for the colony, it's what they do. Timothy got to a point in his life where he didn't really like the job of preaching anymore. He was trained, he was equipped, he was gifted for the ministry of preaching. But when 2 Timothy was written, Timothy was at a point, it seems, that he'd rather do something else, like mow the lawn, counsel married couples, visit people in the hospital, something other than preaching. And Paul wrote to him, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, he said, "Timothy, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, of a preacher, fulfill your ministry." God wants us not to just be busy, but to serve the Lord in whatever way we can be most helpful. And I don't know what that is for you. It differs from Christian to Christian. And maybe for you it could be teaching kids. Maybe you don't really enjoy teaching kids, but maybe you're really good at it. and you bless the lives of those kids and you get them on the right track and you bless their families, and we need you, and maybe that's the way you could be most useful. Some, maybe it's taking care of the buildings and grounds, and but maybe you don't, it's not your favorite thing to do, but you're real good at it. You have the time, you have the know-how, you're needed. How awesome to look back on a life used up in service to the Lord in the capacity where you were most useful. So the ant's purpose and work ethic, and then look at the ant's perseverance. Can you imagine being an ant and your whole life has been nothing but labor and toil to build this dirt mound where you and the other ants live? And one day a giant kid comes by and he just kicks over the mound, your whole life's work. What would you do? You drop whatever you're carrying and throw your little arms up in despair and I'm done. That's it. He's probably going to come by another day and just kick it over again. There's no way I'm building that again. But have you ever kicked over an anthill? And what do? Not a one of them stands off to the side and says, no, I'm not doing that again. Every ant, you kick over the anthill and they go into turbo work mode. They work harder and faster than ever to rebuild what you destroyed. You cannot discourage ants. You cannot get them to quit working. You can only get them to work harder. We're much more easily discouraged than the ants are. If we're not seeing much for results in the people we're trying to influence or teach, if we're criticized, if we're not, we don't get acknowledgement or thanks for what we're doing, if we're not seeing God answer our prayers in the way we think He should answer them, if we make mistakes and we're embarrassed about it, or we think we're not doing a good job at whatever it is, if we face hardship, we face financial trouble, marriage trouble, health trouble, relationship trouble, there's all kinds of things that cause discouragement and apathy to set in with us. But the Lord's given us many promises to empower us to be like the ants and never lose heart. And you might think that you're like a farmer that is plowing and sowing seed in the sands of the desert, and nothing is going to come of it. There's nothing going to be produced, no crop and no harvest, and you feel like it's kind of in vain, but we have the promise of the Lord. Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Guaranteed. You just persevere and keep on working for the Lord, and you will reap a harvest. It will be worth every bit of the effort that you put into it. And whether we make a difference in the lives of the people that we're trying to make a difference in or not, at least our effort is worship to the Lord. And it's like a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And in eternity, we'll look back and we'll be glad for every bit of effort we put in and how we honored the Lord with our time. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It's a promise. And Paul said the sufferings of this present life, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Let's trust the Lord's promises. Let's let His promises empower us to just keep on no matter what happens, and doing what we can for the colony. And then one other thing about ants I thought I'd point out to us that I think helps them to thrive so much in this world. Every ant is thick-skinned. They've got this hard exoskeleton, like a protective casing around their bodies, that enables them to endure the rigors of everyday ant life. They can handle the little rocks falling on them and the other ants walking all over them. When I was a kid, we had these big black ants in our yard. And my brother and I had a couple of air-powered BB guns. One summer day, we ran out of BBs. And so we thought we'd try to find out what would happen if you put one of these black ants down the barrel of a BB gun. They fit just perfectly down the barrel of the BB gun. And when you put them in there and you pump and you shoot, they, because they have this hard exoskeleton, they don't explode inside the gun. They shoot just like BBs. Only unlike BBs, if you shoot them at a hard surface, they don't bounce off. They splat. So there was a new effect you don't get with the BBs. And if you put four or five of them down the barrel, you get kind of a shotgun effect. It was not nice, I know, and you shouldn't do that. But it emphasizes the point. Answer, thick-skinned. And the Lord says if we're going to thrive in this world and the body's going to function like He intends it to function, we've got to be thick-skinned like the ants to endure the rigors of being with other people. How many times have you heard of people quitting church because they were offended at something somebody said? They were insulted somehow, or their kids were offended at something, or people didn't invite them to lunch, or somebody said something about them. They heard somebody said something about them, and it sort of puts them out of operation for the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." And you notice a couple of those characteristics that are commanded there. Patience. That means when you're hurt, when you're offended, when you're frustrated, when you're disappointed, when you're irritated, you don't blow up in anger, you don't retaliate, you don't give up and leave. Patience means to suffer long before reacting negatively and bearing with one another. What does that mean? I think that means you just put up with stuff that bugs you about one another. You bear with one another. And the Lord commands it. A little nugget of wisdom I came across reading the other day, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21. Solomon says, "Also, do not take seriously all words which are spoken, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you. For you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others." And I think when he says your servant, I think he means, you know, somebody that respects you and serves you and puts your interest over theirs, and somebody you should appreciate and you should love. But if you take everything that you hear literally and seriously, you're probably even going to hear your servant cursing you. Everybody says things about other people sometimes in a moment of anger or frustration, or they're having a bad day, or they just weren't thinking. Everybody says things sometimes that they don't mean, or says things that could be misinterpreted. And so you hear something negative about yourself, and if you always take that literally and seriously, I hear Solomon saying you're going to lose a lot of good friendships with people that you could have. You hear something negative about you that somebody said, and we should maybe give that person the benefit of the doubt and realize a lot of times people don't mean it, and a lot of times it's exaggerated or could be misinterpreted, and let's be thick-skinned. I think the Lord wants us to be. And let's have as our sole purpose the colony and not ourselves, and just serve whatever way we can be most useful and keep on at it no matter what happens. If you're struggling and we could pray for you, there's something we could do to help, or if you'd like to be born into the colony this morning through baptism, whatever it is, please come. Let us help you while we stand, while we sing.